Welcome to The Out Agenda, coming to you on archive.kpfk.org. I'm Rita Gonzalez, along with Ralph Radabaugh, who has the week off. This week, we have a fun show. We have two actors from the play 90069 West Hollywood, Brunch Interrupted. Bill Brockrup, who is also the artistic director from the Antius Theater Company, and he used to be on the show NYPD Blues. I remember that show. It was a great show, and excited to have him here. Also is Parnell Damone Mercano, who's also done a lot of theater work here in Los Angeles. And it sounds like a fun place, so enough of me talking. Welcome to The Out Agenda. I'm just excited to have you here because I love theater people, and it's so great. Now, this is a play that it's on zip codes. And before we talk about the play, let's talk about you two. You're both the actors in this play. So first, I'm going to start with Bill, because Bill, you have several hats. You're the artistic director. You're on the board of Antius. Is it Antius Theater?
Antius. Yeah, that's right.
Antius. Uh-huh. Okay. And you have a part in this.
I do. I mean, I am the artistic director of the Antius Theater Company. Everyone in our company is an actor or an artist, a writer and a director. So I was very excited to take part in this play, particularly because I'm gay and this play has a gay subject matter. Not all of our things do. Antius is generally a classical theater company, looking at sort of timely and timeless works. But this play, I was particularly excited to be asked to be in. I did put up a little bit of a fight with the director and the writer, and I said, "Mayo, I don't want to overstep." But when they said it was okay, I jumped on it.
Did you have to audition?
No, these plays, we are making offers directly to the actors and people that we know. So we didn't hold auditions for these.
Oh, okay. Okay. So they pretty much know your work already. So it's kind of...
They do. They do. It's a theater company. So we have about 150 members of this theater. So people's work is all kind of known to each other. Yeah. Well, Parnell has been a guest with us, and but the writer and the director and I all knew his work, and we were all huge fans. So it was a very easy choice to make.
I was going to ask you, Parnell, if you were also part of the company. So you are a guest.
Yeah, I'm actually the company manager over at Celebration Theater. And, you know, so the theater community is very small. So everybody eventually kind of knows each other, or we're 6 degrees of separation. But how do you know so-and-so? Oh, we did this play together or whatever.
Well, it's a small community. I was very involved with Celebration Theater when it first started. And so it's been quite a while. So you're involved with them. So it's like, and Michael Shepard, who used to be part of Celebration Theater, is also involved in this play. Is that correct?
Yeah, he's still there.
And he's the director.
He's the artistic
of this
director. Place. Yeah, he directed this one. Yeah.
So it is a small world. So everybody has to really be nice to each other.
You know, the Los Angeles theater scene is a very tight knit group, and I think during this pandemic, with all the theaters being shut down, we become closer still. And TS was looking for a way to find something to do during the time of shutdown. A lot of places did Zoom plays. We're looking for something. And our idea was to come up with a podcast. So the play that we're doing is actually a podcast, and they're recorded and free to listen to wherever you get, wherever you get your podcasts. And so that was our way to try to do something that we could do socially distanced, but still keep art and storytelling alive. So we're very happy to have Michael Shepard and Parnell join us for this.
So as a podcast, so it's not a visual, it's all audio?
Yes, it's entirely audio.
So it's like one of the old-time radio plays. Yeah.
It is exactly
radio plays.
Like that. It is indeed exactly like that. What happened is we have at Antius, although we are, as I said, a classical theater company, we also have a playwrights lab. And every week, playwrights come together and bring in 20 pages of material. And the actors in our company take turns reading that material and kind of helping the playwrights to hone their plays. So we have this great group of playwrights, and we thought, what could we do during this pandemic that would speak to our community? What we noticed was that everybody was really missing community. That's what people love about the theater, coming together, being together in a room. And when we can't do that, people were missing it. Both the actors and writers, but also our audience members, our donors, our subscribers, our board. And we thought, what could we do that would be safe to do? And I love podcasts. And so we thought about those old time radio plays. And we commissioned all writers in our Playwrights Lab to write 20 to 30 minute long plays, each play based on an LA zip code. And we didn't give them any more than that. So they just, each one picked a zip code that they were interested in. And the styles of the plays are all completely different. There's comedy and tragedy and history and satire and magical realism. Each one is different, and each one set in a unique LA zip code that somehow illuminates the story of that place and the diversity of people that live there. So we have geographical diversity because they go all across Los Angeles County. And then we came up with a way to do it distanced. So I've actually never, this is my favorite part, I've never actually met Parnell in real life.
Wow. So you were just doing it from different places. I mean, it's amazing the technology nowadays that you can do
we
that.
We have. Now, I hope that this will appeal to you because I know that you are a sound designer and a sound aficionado also, because we could not have done this project at all without Jeff Gardner, who is our audio producer, sound designer, and Foley artist. So he does everything. And he came up with a package of materials, microphones, cords, a little portable booth. And we send those, we deliver each of these kits to each individual actor at their home. Jeff helps them, helps set these up. So we all, even the technologically dysfunctional among us, can set them up. And we recorded together. I mean, we were at the same time, but remotely. So I've never met Parnell, although I feel like I'm married to him.
Well, it is a feat in itself too, because my co-host is, I mean, he's in Santa Monica, I believe he's in Santa Monica. And then I'm out in Palm Springs, and I sent him a microphone and everything, so we'd have everything identical. So we kind of get our levels, because it's hard over Zoom.
That's right. Yeah. So we sent out everything the same. Yeah. We were like, everyone needs to have, you know, because different people have different microphones computers, and things like this, right, and different computers. So
different software.
Everybody. Yeah. Yes, exactly.
And just trying to make the sounds, because I have trouble. Sometimes our sounds are off because our internets are different, and sometimes one will freeze up or something. But the technology. So God bless the person who puts this together, because
our hero, Jeff Gardner, who
it was amazing.
We couldn't do without.
Let's talk about your play. I mean, we've been talking about everything else. Okay, so there's two zip codes that I'm well aware of. Which one is the Echo Park 90026? And I've also lived in the 90069 West Hollywood, which your play takes place. Can we talk a little bit without giving it away?
Parnell, go ahead.
Please.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's an interesting take on gentrification.
Okay.
Because it's, you know, as West Hollywood has grown from, you know, Russian immigrant to Boys Town to now a lot more straight people, I guess, are moving into West Hollywood. And it's that assimilationist thing that people are like, well, wait a minute, this is our neighborhood. Changing, it's important for us to have these gay things. And of course, you know, as a Black actor, there's a lot of times in Black neighborhoods, you know, white people were in these neighborhoods, Black people moved in and white people moved away. And now the other places are getting more expensive. White people are starting to move back in what has been traditionally, well, now Black neighborhoods. And we're like going, okay, so now you're just gonna come back and try to push us out after we've been here. So it's very interesting to see how these characters, you know, Bill and I play husbands, and how the husbands react to the new neighbor coming in. You know, it's because it's on some, you know, like with all married couples, some things you agree on, other things you see differently. And like, how do we navigate through this situation so that everybody can live in peace? And I enjoyed it. And Bill, I got to say nice things about you because you've been so nice with the things you've said about me. I was so excited when I heard that I was doing this with you because I was a huge fan of NYPD Blue and watching it. And it's like, you were one of the few gay men that we could see on television. at that time. And so people like you and Billy Porter and Wilson Cruz and all these actors that I watched made me say, when I start really doing this on the professional level, I want to be an out actor, because I want little Black boys or little boys of any color who are gay to see somebody and go like, okay, that person did, that's what I want to do. And I don't have to hide or lie about who I am to make it. So thank you.
Oh, that's very sweet. Thank you. I appreciate that. And you are a role model to a lot of people. And I think it's been great being married to you. Even though I've never held your hand,
right.
but we have, I've enjoyed it immensely working with you. We should say this play is written by Sean Abley, who and it's called Brunch Interrupted. Subtitle is 90069 West Hollywood. I think that he's done a great job of looking at the issue of colonization, is what he kind of calls it in the play, of people coming in and taking over other people's land or other people's area. What's kind of been interesting is we had all these different playwrights. Now, this is our second season of these Zip Code plays. We did a first grouping of six, and now we're doing a second grouping of six, all released at the same time. The first group is released first, and the second group will be released May 20th. And while we don't tell the playwrights what to write about, different themes kind of emerge. So obviously things are on people's minds, and questions about gentrification, colonization, about whose place is this? Where is my place in the world? I want your place. All these kind of questions seem to be, while we didn't set out to write about that or talk about that, those threads are very much present in a number of these plays.
And also, I think that's human nature too, because I know when I get together with my friends, that we talk about those things all the time. I mean, some of us have moved away from the neighborhood, some of us haven't. And you just, those are honest conversations that we're all having. And it gets people to talk about it afterwards.
Absolutely. And it's one thing that I say, the country changes with these small conversations that people have, because a lot of times it can get lost when it's a huge group and there's one speaker, you know, lecturing you on how to make things better. But I think the real change happens when individuals or small groups of people just sit down and like, okay, let's really talk about it and be honest about what we think, what we see, what we're afraid of, what we want to have happen. And then those people go back and they have, you know, it's like, you tell to people and they tell people and so on and so on. It's very much how I feel that change really takes place, is these small conversations where people get an opportunity to really exchange ideas that makes change happen. Because you can legislate it and say that this is the law, but it really doesn't change people's minds or their hearts. But when you have a conversation with somebody that you think is so different from you and then realize, oh, we're really not that different after all. I mean, we all want a safe environment to live and to fall in love and to raise a family or to stay single. I don't judge. You know, and I think that when we start connecting with one another's humanity, and I think that's what happens in Brunch Interrupted, is the kind of thing of like going, yes, there's some conflict here, but where can we find each other's humanity to live in this neighborhood together? Like, you can have your thoughts and feelings and beliefs and desires. I can have mine. And we can just respect that they don't have to necessarily line up perfectly together, as long as we're not trying to stop the other one from living their full life.
And those are great conversations to have. And I think by doing that, and this play, it brings those conversations to the forefront. Because we do have these in our minds sometimes, and we hold them in and we don't talk to other people because we're afraid people will judge us on that. But it's good to have these conversations. And I think that's the great thing about plays or movies, or where you could see it on the stage and say, and you can relate to that character that's saying, that's me up there. I'm feeling like that. So it's wonderful that the theater company was able to adapt and continue with these plays. You're not on a stage right now, but doing the podcast. I mean, you found ways to still reach the people out there.
You know what's great is to me, we're in Glendale. Our home is Kiki and David Gindler Performing Arts Center in Glendale. We have a small, like 80 seat theater. It's very intimate. So when you see a production there, you're very close to the audience. You know, you're right there. I like to see people sweat. And somehow I think that the podcast and listening to it with the headphones on while you're on your walk or doing the dishes or whatever you're doing, there's an intimacy in that too, because it's like someone's telling the story just right into your ear. You're getting the whole story right here, so close to you. And I think that that is a metaphor for what Antaeus' stage work is like. And you relate to the characters because they're talking right into your ear.
Yeah, and it's to you. And I used to love, I'm older than you all, but I remember when I was younger, my mother would put on the radio plays and I'd listen to the Long Ranger or the Shadow Knows and all these things. And it was just like, you know, people used to listen to those things and it was like, wow, that's.
Yeah, and this has, we have the same, because we have Jeff Gardner, as I said, it's doing Foley. So, you know, Foley is the sound effects. So sound of horses and horse hooves and cats and rain and noises. And he's done an amazing job of making each one of the plays in each distinct neighborhood have its own character. And then we also have original music by Ellen Mandel, who she's written music for each episode that speaks to the style of the particular play that we're doing. So it really does feel like an entire experience, even though it's just in your ear.
Do you think when COVID's over, and it will eventually be over, that you'll be continuing these? Because I just think it just brings back your imagination too, because with doing the Foley and doing all these sound effects and then the people, it's just like, it's like audiobooks. You know, you like to listen to audiobooks. I mean, your imagination is so great.
I'm very excited about them, as you can tell, but we are absolutely planning to do a third season of these, which will start up commissioning the playwrights later in the spring. And there's a long lead time. It takes a while to put all these together. We'll probably be releasing maybe in November, a season three. Because for one thing, there are so many zip codes in Los Angeles to talk about. We barely scratched the surface. You know, there are so many neighborhoods to talk about, but I just think it's a great way to celebrate Los Angeles and our communities where we live in very specific and fun and creative ways. And I think this is something we're going to want to continue as a theater company.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean,
yeah.
I think it's awesome because, yeah, Los Angeles is so vast. And it's like, I mean, I only talked about a couple of yours at 90069 and then the other one, 90026, which is the Echo Park, Silver Lake area, because that's a big area. That just takes forever.
Yeah.
It's so many different communities that one zip code.
The Echo Park one, which releases right after ours, is all about Amy Semple McPherson and the, you know, who was a televangelist in the 20s in the church, which is still there. So we did, in season one, we looked at South Central Los Angeles, Pacific Palisades, Santa Monica, Westwood, Sun Valley and downtown LA. And in season two, we are doing Echo Park, West Hollywood, Inglewood, Pacoima, North Hollywood, and Monterey Park. So, you know, we're from the ocean to the, you know, we're all over the place.
And the diversity too. And at the same time, it's all LA. LA is just a big place. And it's a fun place too. It has so many things going on there.
Stories to do. And, you know, I want to mention too, that we have some additional programming surrounding these, which are, we've made tours in each zip code. We've chosen six or so highlights of the area. And we have actors from the company narrating a tour, just an audio tour, just like if you went to a museum and listened to an audio tour of the museum, that will take you around each neighborhood. And you can either do it virtually and just sort of follow along on Google Earth, or you can do it in your car when it's safe, if you feel comfortable driving around. We've partnered with local businesses in each of the neighborhoods, so you can stop for coffee or something in each of the particular neighborhoods.
Wow.
And that way you can really get to know the place. And I've personally done them all, and they are excellent. And you really, when you do them, you're like, wow, Santa Monica is not the same as Sun Valley. And there are interesting things in each place that I had no idea about. So that's all on our website. So, you know, when you have a chance, you take
genius.
A tour.
Yeah, you should do one of all the stairs too. All the stairs in Los Angeles. Those are there is a group that actually does a walking tour of all those, but the history of all the staircases.
Yeah. I know that those stairs are in the Echo Park tour. So I know that that's true.
You know
Echo Park that has those stairs. Yeah.
I remember that people would say, can you help me move? And I go, where are you moving to? They tell you, I'm moving there. Those stairs, I ain't doing those stairs. There's stairs everywhere. But there's a history. There was a lot of history to the stairways too. And they do have tours of the stairs, but it would be fun to actually do a story or a play on just the stairs.
Well, yeah. This is the thing. For each place, there are so many different ideas that could come up. So we think we can keep doing this for some time. And
perhaps
at a certain point, we'll expand and do a zip code plays California and expand to, you know, I don't know, Orange County and San Francisco or something, who knows? And then maybe we'll do zip code USA and hear some stories about Chicago and New Orleans and who knows where. So we think this has real potential.
Oh, it does. So it starts May 20th. So how do we find out about it?
May 20th at antias.org. That's our website. You can find things there. They'll be available wherever you get your podcasts, Spotify, Apple, wherever you find podcasts. They're free. Each one is a maximum of a half hour. So they're like 20 minutes to a half hour, kind of, I think, perfect for a little walk or cleaning the kitchen. And that's been another thing that's been wonderful, because as a theater company, you know, there are so many barriers to people coming to the theater, whether it's financial, geographical, childcare, transportation, all the things that keep people don't feel welcome or that this is their place. And with the zip code plays, because they're free and you can download them and listen to them at any time you want, it's been a real, I hope, a breaker of barriers that people feel about coming to the theater, because everyone is welcome here to listen to these anytime.
I think people are intimidated by the theater sometimes. They don't know how to act in a theater, and they think, so, you know, it's because there's live people on the stage, and I think this is a good way for people to be introduced to theater by these plays on the podcast, that maybe you want to see it on a real stage or something, and it takes away that.
Yeah, here's my hint: how to act at the theater. Act like you got some sense. Don't put your feet on the stage if you are not in the play.
Don't talk to the actors unless they ask you to.
And turn off your cell phones.
That's a good rule.
And that creakly paper. No creakly paper. Oh. I hate it when they do those creakly papers.
Open your candy now.
Yes, all those things. But you know, you make a great point, which is that many people don't feel like the theater is for them. And we would like to change that attitude and say that the theater is you. This is just storytelling. It's great stories, and everyone loves stories. So these are free and available starting May 20th. And you can listen to season one right now. You can find them right now, six plays available, you know, as we speak. And then May 20th, season two will drop.
That's us.
Yes, season two.
I am looking forward to May 20th. I want to hear the two of you have this intellectual conversation over interrupted lunch.
It's funny too. Parnell's a riot. So
Bill, stop it. Well, we got to show love to our third star, Angie Bird, who is in it with us, who is amazing. She is so wonderful, and just to work with the two of you was just such a great experience. I think it's a feather in my cap.
She the woman who moved in that you're talking about?
Yes, she is a straight woman moving into our gay neighborhood. And, you know, I don't know if we're so happy about it.
It sounds like a fabulous play. I want to catch up on the others so I could still download those, which is great.
Yes, those will be available evergreen. We're not taking them down. They'll be available at all times. So The six of them are, or the six plays of season one are available right now on our website and or wherever you get podcasts. So
good. So I will put down Antius Theater. So it's, how is it spelled?
A-N-T-A-E-U-S. It's a funny name. It's the name of a Greek titan who gained strength by keeping his feet on the ground so that he was grounded. And eventually, sad for him, Hercules picked him up, and when his feet were not on the ground, his strength left him. And but the metaphor for us is that we are grounded in our love of the classical theater.
We're going to put this on our website.
Santius.org.
Bill Farnell, thank you so much for joining the Out Agenda. Looking forward to it. And you guys have been great. And I can hardly wait to hear you.
Thank you,
Rita. Thank you so much. Thank you. And we really appreciate you taking the time. And Parnell, it's good to see you.
Good to see you too, Zoom. Bill. Let's
and
do
one day, we'll see you in live.
Yes. We'll do a big hug, because it's like, I just, because it's awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Once again, we've been speaking to Bill Brocktrup and Parnell Damone-Mercano from the play 90069, West Hollywood, Brunch Interrupted. And if you would like to hear the podcast, you can go online at antaeus.org. That's A-N-T-A-E-U-S. And we want to hear from you. Tell us what you think of the Out Agenda and about the kinds of interviews and stories you want to hear. Follow us on Twitter or email us at theoutagenda@gmail.com. I'm Rita Gonzalez, along with Ralph Radaba. Thanks for listening and have a wonderful week. And remember that being out is the first step to being equal. Now stay tuned for This Way Out.
Whose house is this? Whose house is this?
Hate BO2 is not a bill to protect women and children from predators.
This morning, Donald Trump went on the Today Show.
So if Caitlyn Jenner were to walk into Trump Tower, you would be fine with her using any bathroom she chooses.
That is correct.
This is an issue that the left started, not the right.
What is the threat posed by these most vulnerable of our human family?
And trans rights are under attack. What do we do?
Stand up, fight back.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. A German NGO and Russian LGBT group fight the Chechen purge, toilet training lessons from North Carolina's 2016 bathroom bill, and thoughts on gender identity definitions for would-be saviors. All that and more this week because you discovered This Way Out.
I'm Tanya Kane Perry.
And I'm Marcos Najera.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting LGBTQ communities around the world for the week ending April 24th, 2021. Five officials of the homophobic government of Chechnya are being charged in a German court for crimes against humanity. They are all said to be part of the inner circle of heavy-handed leader Ramzan Kadyrov. Two of them have already been sanctioned by the European Union, the UK, and the US. Pressure is building on the Australian government to follow suit. The 97-page indictment accuses the five officials of leading Chechnya's persecution, unlawful arrest, torture, and incitement to murder of at least 150 people based on their perceived sexual orientation. The Russian alternative Novaya Gazeta newspaper first published reports of so-called gay concentration camps in 2017. Both the Russian government and its mostly self-governing Muslim region of Chechnya consistently deny any alleged gay purge. So the German NGO, European Center for Constitutional and Human Rights, has stepped in. They're submitting the case in partnership with the Russian LGBT Network, the group that's been helping queer Chechen refugees flee the region. Reporters from The Guardian, who have seen parts of the indictment, identify Kadyrov's personal bodyguard and Deputy Prime Minister Abuzad Vizmuradov, Police Chief Ayub Katayev, and Chechen Parliament Chair Mogamed Davdov, among the five named officials. Kadyrov himself has apparently not been charged.
The founder of the German NGO, Wolfgang Kalleck, told The Guardian that in an imperfect system of international criminal justice, Germany attempts to guarantee that Europe is no safe haven for war criminals. If no other jurisdiction investigates, Germany is able and must be willing to take over tasks representing thereby Europe and the international community. Advocates in France lodged a complaint in the International Criminal Court in The Hague against the Chechen government in 2017 when the atrocities were first reported. That effort fell apart after Russia flatly rejected the court's jurisdiction. German law especially allows prosecution for crimes against humanity if other attempts to bring the perpetrators to justice fail. If the German federal prosecutor decides to take on the case, Kadyrov's cronies could be arrested the second they set foot on German soil. It could also bolster fleeing queer Chechens' appeals for asylum in Europe. According to The Guardian, the governments of France, Germany, the Netherlands, and Lithuania are among the few that have specifically rolled out the rainbow carpet for them.
Namibia's High Court has rebuffed the effort of two gay dads to reunite their growing family. Namibian citizen Philip Lul and his Mexican husband Guillermo Delgado have a 2-year-old son whose citizenship they were already fighting for. The latest additions to their little brood are twin daughters, born in March to a surrogate in South Africa. Namibian authorities rejected the application for the twins to enter the country. They said that Lul must first prove a genetic link to them. Lul and Delgado are both listed as the parents on their infant twins' South African birth certificates. However, Namibia High Court Judge Thomas Musuko ruled on April 19th that ordering the Ministry of Home Affairs to allow the babies to enter the country would be judicial overreach. That decision left Lul stranded in South Africa with the twin girls, while Delgado and the couple's son remain in Namibia. If they were a married heterosexual couple, the Southern African nation would welcome their newborns with no questions asked. Lul's lawyer, Uno Kahiepuka Sibolele, found the judge's decision difficult to understand.
The fact is that he's keeping a family apart because the court doesn't want to overreach, whatever that may mean. And that situation cannot be said to be in the best interest of the children.
A judgment on the citizenship of the couple's 2-year-old boy is expected in August.
In the vicious game of Republican-controlled U.S. state legislatures taking target practice against transgender youth in particular, here's this week's scorecard. Tennessee's Senate voted 21-7 to allow private civil lawsuits for monetary damages against public schools and districts that allow trans people to use public facilities according to their gender identity. The House has passed a slightly different version. It's just the latest wrinkle on so-called bathroom bills currently overflowing in the country. Republican lawmakers have apparently forgotten what happened when North Carolina tried to politicize the potty 5 years ago this week. More on that later, wherever you hear This Way Out. Tennessee Governor Bill Lee already signed a bill banning transgender athletes from competing in girls' public school sports. A similar bill is moving in Oklahoma. Arkansas's Republican Governor Asa Hutchinson already signed one. He said this week that he will sign another bill heading his way that will allow the state attorney general to sue any school that violates the trans in sports ban. The Arkansas legislature overrode his veto of a bill that denies medically approved care for transgender young people.
The tide may be turning, however, thanks at least in part to the National Collegiate Athletic Association. Republican North Dakota Governor Doug Burgum and Democratic Kansas Governor Laura Kelly each vetoed bills this week that would have banned trans competitors in school sports. That came on the heels of the NCAA's announcement last week that the country's collegiate sports authority would pull key events like championship tournaments out of states that discriminate against LGBTQ people or anyone else. That threat was not directly mentioned in the vetoes. North Dakota Republicans are reportedly lining up votes to attempt an override. Florida's Senate has killed an anti-trans and sports ban. Some lawmakers there specifically did cite the threatened boycott by the NCAA. In an Associated Press survey of a number of Republicans in states considering the trans sports ban, not one could point to a specific example of the problem such a ban is allegedly supposed to solve. Montana's Senate voted this week to indefinitely postpone a bill to outlaw gender-affirming surgery for transgender minors. For the record, puberty blockers and other therapies are the medically accepted treatments for transgender teens. Surgery is not recommended. Arizona's Republican Governor Doug Ducey has vetoed a bill that he called overly broad and vague. It would have prohibited all discussion in sex education classes about sexual orientation, gender identity, or even HIV/AIDS, unless parents were given advance notice allowing them to pull their children out of those classes. Louisiana's Democratic Governor John Bel Edwards decided to get ahead of the curve this week. He vowed that he would veto any unnecessary and discriminatory legislation that targets fragile transgender youth.
Finally, activists are fighting an anti-trans proposal in the Australian state of New South Wales by far-right lawmaker Mark Latham. It would essentially ban the recognition of transgender identity and gender diversity in schools. Latham claims that Parliament needs to defend the family unit and the biological science of gender. Trans activist April Holcomb led more than a dozen outraged protesters who disrupted Latham's parliamentary committee as it began considering his bill.
How dare you sit there and try to oversee the rolling back of our rights, rolling them back by decades, trying to attack the most vulnerable people in our society, transgender young people, who've already got it tough enough. You are nothing but a thug and a bigot. The vast majority of people want our schools to be inclusive spaces, don't want teachers to have to turn around and worry about their own jobs, their own livelihoods, because of bills that you are trying to pass with the support of the Liberal Party in this Parliament. How dare you? We are here to fight. We are not going to let you get away with this. When trans rights are under attack, what do we do?
Stand up, fight back.
When trans rights are under attack, what do we do?
Stand up, fight back. Stand up, fight back.
Some security force members had their hands on their holstered pistols, according to at least one report. The protesters offered no resistance as they were forcibly escorted out of Parliament House.
That's News Wrap, global queer news with attitude for the week ending April 24th, 2021. Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap is recording remotely during the COVID-19 emergency. It's written by Greg Gordon, edited by Lucia Chappelle, produced by Brian DeShazer, and brought to you by you.
Help keep us in ears around the world at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast and much more.
And you can read the transcript and listen to News Wrap each week by subscribing to our This Way Out radio channel on YouTube. For This Way Out, I'm Marcos Najera. Stay healthy.
And I'm Tanya Kane Perry. Stay safe.
A cursory glance at the definition of the prefix or the word trans tells us that it can mean across, beyond, through, or changing thoroughly.
Find out which trans definition fits you later in the program.
Hello. Hello again. Hello. Hello again.
You'd almost think it was 2016, but don't be fooled. While time may have moved on in the last 5 years, Republican state lawmakers in the U.S. have not. To remind them how their anti-trans strategy played out back when North Carolina's bathroom bill took the country by storm, and to remind queers and allies how to fight back, we revisit my report from 5 years ago this week. It was the pre-Trump rather than post-Trump era, but almost everything else sounds eerily familiar.
It's just another day. Day.
Another week has gone by, and the hate pot continues to boil over in North Carolina. HB 2 bans local governments from protecting LGBT people from discrimination and requires transgender people to use public bathrooms, restrooms, or other sex-segregated facilities based on their birth gender rather than their gender identity. LGBT activists and their allies staged a civil disobedience action at the state capitol in Raleigh on April 26th to protest the law. Pacifica Radio's Gabriela Castellón reports.
Officers arrested 54 protesters who came to voice opposition to the law. Three dozen of them refused to leave the building after it was officially closed, and Capitol Police warned that they faced arrest.
If you do not leave right now, then you're going to be placed under arrest.
Woo! Whose house is it?
Reverend William Barber referred to the law as Hate Bill 2 at the protest.
Hate Bill 2 is not a bathroom bill.
That's right.
It is not a bill to protect women and children from predators.
That's right.
It is a cynical attempt to pit supposedly Christian values against our family's best interests and our faith's highest morality.
Yeah.
Earlier in the day, thousands of Christian conservatives and other supporters of the law known as House Bill 2 gathered to praise the mostly Republican lawmakers and Governor Pat McCrory for passing the restrictions last month in a special session.
Not surprisingly, both Democratic presidential candidates Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders have called for the repeal of HB 2.
Well, look, North Carolina did something that was very strong, and they're paying a big price, and there's a lot of problems.
Republican presidential wannabe Donald Trump.
And I heard one of the best answers I heard was from a commentator yesterday saying, leave it the way it is right now. There have been not very few problems. Leave it the way it is. North Carolina, what they're going through with all of the business that's leaving and all of the strife, and it's on both sides. You leave it the way it is.
So if Caitlyn Jenner were to walk into Trump Tower and want to use the bathroom, you would be fine with her using any bathroom she chooses.
That is correct.
This morning, Donald Trump went on the Today Show.
Rival Ted Cruz milked it for all it was worth.
He was talking with Matt Lauer and palling around with his buddies in the media. Donald agreed with Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama in attacking the state of North Carolina for passing their bathroom ordinance. Now, let me ask you, have we gone stark raving nuts? I'm the father of two little girls. Here is basic common sense. Grown adult men, strangers, should not be alone in a bathroom with little girls.
Give me the ball, give me the ball, give me the ball, yeah! Give me the ball, give me the ball, give me the ball,
It became clear this week that the NCAA, the National Collegiate Athletic Association, is not going to hold major athletic tournaments, such as the fabled basketball Final Four, in states like North Carolina if they discriminate against any student athlete or fan.
We need to make sure our student athletes are competing in venues and competing in states that have an inclusive environment for all of our student athletes, our fans, and our coaches.
NCAA Board of Governors Chair Kirk Schultz.
It's important for us to weigh in on these important issues and make sure that regardless of whether our student's a Division I, Division II, or Division III athlete, that their championship experience is among the best.
I can't believe we're talking about this. This is not an issue that I started. This is an issue that the left started, not the right.
North Carolina Governor Pat McCrory inexplicably continued to defend the law during an interview with Megyn Kelly on Fox News.
Specifically, what was the evidence that led you to believe this was a problem?
It wasn't. It was a respect for privacy. It was an expectation of privacy that individuals have, especially our youth have, when they go into a locker room, a shower, or a restroom. And it's not just women's bathroom, it's boys' bathrooms. And in fact, the Obama administration now is putting requirements on state, on federal money given to states that they also have to have this gender identification requirement for our schools. And what we ought to do is for those people who have these unique gender identification issues, which I empathize with, we ought to allow the schools to make special arrangements for those people.
North Carolina, friendly mountain breezes, North Carolina, with its sandy beaches, living is right in holiday bright, North Carolina.
Late night talk show hosts are, of course, still enjoying a field day with North Carolina's HB2. On NBC's Late Night with Seth Meyers,
there are any number of problems with these laws, and aside from the fact they're hateful and discriminatory, they're also unenforceable. When asked how they would enforce the North Carolina law, a spokesperson for one local police department said, "So that means people have to go to the bathroom with birth certificates? Yeah, that was curious to me." And another said, "We don't have police officers sitting at public bathrooms all day long. But it'd be cool if you did, because then there could be a new Dick Wolf spinoff, Law and Order, Someone's in Here."
And Stephen Colbert on CBS's The Late Show.
If you've been following the news, you know that there are a lot of new laws out there, like one down in North Carolina, which are regulating which bathrooms transgender people are allowed to use. And, I mean, this is huge news. Even the candidates are talking about it. And now a protest group has collected 750,000 pledges to boycott the store Target over their policy of welcoming transgender people to use whichever bathroom matches their personal identity. I know you want to know where I stand on this one. Here's the thing. I don't care if you're male or female, what sex or gender identity someone is, I, and I mean this sincerely, do not want to share a bathroom with anyone. Okay? For two reasons. Number one, and number two. And to all those lawmakers out there who are so obsessed with who's using what bathroom and what plumbing they got downtown, newsflash, you're the weirdos.
And the beat goes on.
Yes, the beat goes on.
And the beat goes on.
Returning to the present, bathroom bills are being pushed in several other states across the country by Republican lawmakers. The power of the NCAA is still being felt, with some states backing down from their anti-trans proposals when confronted with the collegiate sports organization's continued insistence on inclusive policies. The 2020 presidential campaign corrected the catastrophe of 2016, but now queer activists are horrified that Caitlyn Jenner wants to govern California. And the arguments against trans equality are still a joke.
I didn't say no, brainwash you when you least suspect it. I feed your mass media, the age is electric. Got the electric blues, got the electric blues.
M, F, X, Y. This by Arch John Dyer V considers the changing views of gender and how identity plays in politics and in the media.
Changes. Changes.
It has been said that change is the nature of the universe, and that change is impossible without stepping out of one's comfort zone. However you believe, society in 2021 is witnessing a lot of change, and it's happening quickly, often despite extreme efforts to stop it. Disparate engines of today's change include the global pandemic, economic inequality, environmental crises, and a continually widening social awareness across the planet. Whether by force or by our own will, effecting and maintaining preeminent change is hard work. Learning can be viewed as change. You are transformed by now knowing what you previously did not. Since none of us knows absolutely everything, we are all in a state of learning, a state of change. A cursory glance at the definition of the prefix or the word trans tells us that it can mean across, beyond, through, or changing thoroughly. The expanding awareness of genders and gender identity is taking place most everywhere, with some struggling to define it personally, and others loudly objecting to the very idea of anything existing outside the westernized binary of just male or just female. Modern biology can show us endless physiological examples of those who are not just one or the other, and it only gets more complicated from there. In attempting to describe a gender role that did not fit the, quote, traditional male or female identities, historical anthropologists came up with a term, berdash, referring to a young male prostitute or the passive partner in sodomy. This term, rightly considered offensive by indigenous peoples, also misses the mark completely in its attempt to address gender and what is called gender roles. Another term, specific to some Native American groups, is two-spirit, which again clumsily attempts to lay out a singular description of what is actually a host of diverse, culturally specific, social, and sometimes ceremonial roles. Today, contemporary gender theorists argue that a two-gender system is neither innate nor universal. Other terms, such as intersex and third sex, also attempt to define something that is usually quite complicated, and the idea of personal choice only adds to this array of identities. The National Human Rights Institution, the Asia-Pacific Forum, focuses more on the legal recognition of transgender people, their self-determination, and their access to the same rights as other cisgender men and women. There are many people whose sexual orientation or gender identity is secondary to their ethnic identity, just as there are those who view themselves as unitary, neither male nor female. Did you know that in all of 2020, cable and broadcast news spent a total of 54 minutes covering anti-trans violence? According to Media Matters, 2020 was the deadliest year on record for trans individuals, with Black and Latin trans women comprising the majority of those victims. The question rises, what is the threat posed by these most vulnerable of our human family? Media Matters goes on to show that conservative-leaning media outlets, with the seemingly full cooperation of Facebook, are dominating the conversation about trans individuals, and they are happy to spread lies and misinformation, thus stoking the fears of the uninformed. This is mass manipulation at its most devious, and the question again arises, why the need to create a threat when there really is no threat? Critical thinking is something that we can all exercise, but it becomes almost impossible under a constant barrage of that which is not true. Most of us want to believe in the advice of our medical institutions. The almost 10,000 members of the American Academy of Child and Adolescent Psychiatry, the American Academy of Pediatrics, the American Medical Association, and frontline physicians representing almost 600,000 doctors and medical students all unequivocally state that gender-affirming care is crucial and proper for the lifelong health of trans individuals of any age. So the question remains, what is behind this othering and demonizing of persons who are already dealing with a full plate of complex and often bewildering personal issues? Just imagine the reverse. What if heterosexuality was tomorrow declared illegal and punishable by death? You already know the answer. There are very real consequences to this massive media gaslighting. When the likes of Tucker Carlson lies through his teeth about trans athletes, he endangers those athletes as well as honest attempts at human progress. We are all witnesses to how creating an enemy or monster out of other human beings who only seek their own health, peace, and safety will surely bring harassment, violence, and death. This toxic content also directly harms sacred public discourse and any policies surrounding trans folks, and ultimately, all of us. There is a famous quote from an old comic strip, "We have met the enemy, and he is us." I propose that we adopt an alternative and non-religious version of that idea. The saviors are among us, and they are us. I'm John Dyer V.
But it's in your head, brainwash you when you least suspect it. They feed your mass media, the age is electric. Got electric news, got electric news.
Thanks for discovering This Way Out, brought to you by the nonprofit Overnight Productions. Some program material this week came from Tanya Kane Berry and Marcos Najera, produced by Brian Ducezer, from Gabriela Castellon, and from John Dyer V. The Cars, Paul McCartney, Sonny and Cher, Yes, and the Broadway cast of Hair performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This is our thanks to Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation, the Ifana Foundation, a bequest from Christopher David Trentum, and donors Judd Proctor and Brian Burns, and Richard Merck and Brad Payton of Silicon Valley. Listener donors make this program possible. Look for This Way Out Radio on social media, email tworadio@aol.com, or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California, 90078 USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappell and everyone at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks for listening online at thiswayout.org and on 2CCC Gosford, New South Wales, KDUR Durango, Colorado, WWSX Rehoboth Beach, Delaware, and a wide array of community terrestrial and internet radio stations around the world, including this one. Stay healthy, stay safe, and stay tuned.